Lecture topic, hate for sins.
The most important thing is not to cause any inconvenience to any Muslim or non-Muslim anyone. You're talking of causing any inconvenience to no one in this course. It's a very big sin. To hurt someone, to allow the person to talk or point a finger at you. Don't do that kind of action that causes the person to talk bad about you. Now the person parked the car there, he might have come late. His duty is to remove the car there. He will not allow them to come and tell him. This is one fault that most of us have. We don't realize that it is wrong to do that. That's why you leave your Fard Namaz, go outside and remove your car. Do not cause any inconvenience. You must think to yourself, whatever you see, think, if I am in that position, what will happen to me? But we don't look at it like that. We feel that we are right, you know. So many a time we cause people to talk bad because of our own actions. It's very important, do not cause any kind of inconvenience at any time. The most important thing today, which is so important, is to have hate for sins. Hate for sins is very important. Because once you persist on committing sins, continually a person commits sin of all kinds. And he persists and boasts about it. Today people even boast about their sins also. All the wrongs they commit, they boast about it. They don't realize that every time you commit a sin, a black spot is made in your heart. Now once you commit the sin, that black spot increases all the time. And once that black spot increases to that extent, Allah must save it. It reaches a certain point that black spot cannot come out anymore. And then the question mark is then what happens to the iman there? So persistence of committing a sin, wala yusir wala ma'afal Allah ta'ala, say in the Quran, say, do not persist. We have to learn, which is very, very important. Because once you persist in committing a sin, then what's the reason for committing sins? Why does a person go towards haram? For what's the reason for him to commit haram? The most important thing to look at is what our intake is. Our intake is what it is. Our intake must be halal. If our intake is halal, in other words, we'll eat halal, we'll make sure keep away from haram. Unfortunately, today in our society, we are not concerned about it. If you see someone written halal there, you just go and buy from there. You're not understanding that it is important to find out what it is really halal or not. Because once you intake that halal, then you must understand this much that the whole body of it becomes haram. Whole body becomes haram. Then what you see is haram. Every action of yours you do haram. Then you say, I'm not enjoying my ibadat. I'm not enjoying this thing. Then you say, I miss my ibadat now. I miss this, I miss that. But failing to understand is because of what you are doing. Your intake is very important. Very, very important. So, if a person keeps himself more concerned of eating halal food, then you find that he's doing good actions all the time. There'll be noor on his face. Noor does not mean his face will shine. The inside will shine. The inside will shine. It will shine so much that he sometimes shows him a face to him. But he's fine that he makes ibadat, he's enjoying his ibadat. No. Many a time the person says, I'm not enjoying my ibadat. Don't say that. Look at what you're eating. Look at what you're doing. What kind of actions you're making. That action of that kind makes the whole body become of that kind. So if you want noor to come in the body, then the very important thing is do everything which Allah wants you to do. See, a very important thing which we have to have in our heart is that only to give one person happiness, Allah Ta'ala. Everything comes afterwards. Your love for the wife for the sake of Allah. Your love for the children for the sake of Allah. Your love for a Muslim brother for the sake of Allah. So everything must revolve on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah. If you got that together in your life, then automatically you find that your life will be a place of jannat in this world. It will be so much of peace. Leave alone this much. If you're going through difficulties, also that difficulty becomes a kind of a praise for your heart. You'll be very happy about it. Because you know you're keeping Allah Ta'ala happy. You know that the most important thing, anything that you do, whether it's namaz, whether any sins you do, anything you do, charity, the most important thing is look at Allah is happy or not. If Allah Ta'ala is happy with you, then no matter you're going through some difficulties too, that difficulties came from Allah Ta'ala too. So as Allah Ta'ala did a good thing, you'll be happy. You take that as a good thing also, because that good thing is actually making your sin be forgiven. When a person goes through some sickness or some hardship, that hardship is not a hardship, it's an elevation for him to elevate him more near to Allah Ta'ala. Man does not understand this. Allah Ta'ala does not punish anyone. Allah Ta'ala sometimes has to wash the person. He has to wash him. At the time a Muslim, when he goes to Jahannam, Allah must save us all. We go to Jahannam, not because of punishment. He is not yet ready to go into Jannah. That body cannot be fit to go to Jannah, that Allah is forced to put him to Jahannam, to give a nice wash for him there, that thereafter he becomes cleansed, then he says, now you can go to Jannah. That's why they say you must try to purify yourself all the time in this world. One is to go to Jannah without the punishment that Allah must save us. One is going to Jannah without reckoning and make yourself pure all the time. Be pure all the time. What it costs you to be pure? Cost to pure means this month that try to keep away from all kinds of sins. Sin must not be in your direct, in your dictionary at all. But what must I say today? Everyone is committing a sin. No one is trying to learn, let me keep away from sins. There's a list of sins which you have to keep away from. No one knows about it too. We just think, all right, you know, we keeping away from drinking or gambling. That's not everything. That's one of the sins that you've kept away from, but there's so many sins that we're committing all the time. We're not even concerned of putting the sins right. You know, for example, the sin of the eyes is so rife at the moment. So rife with old people, young people, everything. Now the sin of the eyes is so bad because it goes direct to the heart. Direct to the heart. And once it goes direct to the heart, it's like a spear, you know, going to the heart, the arrow. Once it spears into a heart, that sometimes becomes most difficult to come out of your heart. Once it cannot come out of your heart, it takes you years before it can come out. For example, you've got pride in you. When pride comes sitting to you and sits in your heart for some time, you then begin to feel that, no, I haven't got pride. You begin to, I haven't got no pride. I've got no pride. But all that time you carry pride all the days, for years upon years, you continue having that pride. But because you sit in your heart now, but no pride, what's the meaning of pride? Pride does not mean you lost your shoes and start walking outside and you feel shy to walk out. That's not called pride. Pride, that is something else. Because pride means to look down at someone. Because Allah Ta'ala gave you some good qualities in you, and you forgot that Allah gave you the quality, can take it away tomorrow. But you think if you brought that quality upon yourself, and the moment you begin to think like that, that you brought those qualities yourself, that itself means that you feel you are someone, that no one can take it away from you. But if you fail to understand this, that everything that Allah gives you can take away tomorrow. And we have seen so many people of that kind who have so much of pride with the strength, you know, that have so much of pride and like this and like that. Next moment you get a stroke, what happens to you? You become completely useless. Then he had to put his hands up to Allah Ta'ala and beg for mercy. So everyone has to understand this one. The pride is the worst sin that you put. That's exactly what Shaitan has done for us. We were the first one to have pride. And we, because many a time you find Allah means you leave namaz not completely, very nicely. And every day you don't miss one takbir ula too. And then you come to the first person to leave namaz in the masjid. And you feel that you're kept away from all kinds of sins. Instead of thanking Allah Ta'ala and fear that Allah can take it away, you begin to think there's no one like you. Now this is something to understand, very important. That everything that happens to you is from the will of Allah. Whatever has been given to you is from the will of Allah. And how Allah gave it to you, Allah can take it away from you. This is what the concern must be. The great people, the pious saints, they had this quality in them. that whatever Allah Ta'ala gave them, their fear was that Allah did not take it away from them. Now if they have that heart that Allah did not take it away from me, so what happened? They automatically, they're concerned of themselves. They don't look down at anyone at all. Just knowledge itself, knowledge. It's a very great thing. Knowledge is actually a quality of Allah Ta'ala. It brings noor in them. It's a noor. But the person who got more knowledge, you find is more humble. A person who got more knowledge becomes more humble. Because the fear is that, Ya Allah, it's your knowledge, you can take it away from me. And they said, look at Musa alayhi salam as a Nabi. He was a Nabi of Allah Ta'ala and a very great Nabi. But once when someone asked him, who's the most learned one here? He just said, yes, he, no doubt he was. But he had not to say those words. He had not to say. Allah Ta'ala reminded him, oh Musa, there is someone who is more learned than you. And that's Khizr alayhi salam. There's different knowledge altogether. Not that he was not the most knowledgeable person. He was the most knowledgeable person. But because he made the statement, why did you say that? You're not supposed to say that. Allah Ta'ala said, now you go to see someone who is more knowledgeable than you. Teaching us also that we come to realize that great saints, whenever you praise them, they feel no harm, they're happy at all. They don't feel happy at all. But you and I, you say, hey, that is a namazi. And we say, no, this was namazi, you hear that, hey, I'm very happy about it. You should think to yourself, Ya Allah, you made me namazi. The fear must be that it must not be, it must sit in your head. And you begin to think that you're someone, and then you lose yourself. That's why they say many people who read Quran, they will read a lot of Quran Sharif, but that Quran will only be in the throat, not in the heart. The Quran will be only the throat. But when they recite Quran Sharif, they recite with the most melodious voice. So beautiful voice will be the Quran. But that beautiful voice remains only to the throat, not to the heart. That was Abdullah ibn Mubarak, Rahmatullah Ali, or someone else. When he said this much, that, you know, he said, I'm worried about the people today, and you can just imagine talking his time. He said, I'm worried about the people today that they're paying so much attention to how to read Quran the correct way, but not at night. The old people should ponder upon the ayat of the Quran, Ya Allah, what is the Quran all about? But we are not looking at the Quran with that. We only look at, mashallah, the Quran has been read, very cited, very beautifully, and you give him all kind of praises. But failing to understand the most important thing, the Quran must go into your heart. That's why they say, when you recite the Quran was of this kind, that it must become on a day of Qiyamah a weapon for you to be prepared to protect you. So we have to understand how to bring noor into our hearts. Our hearts must become noor, full of heart. The only way is gunahs and nafrat. The hateful sins must be for every sin. Unless you don't have that quality, the hateful sins. Now, this is what we don't understand. We just think we have few, the hateful sins, that's enough. My dear friends, there's a lot of things we have to keep away from. Just to have jealousy for someone is a very big sin. You know how big sin that is? You actually argue with Allah Ta'ala. You're saying, Allah Ta'ala, I'm not happy with the decision. You've given him that, why didn't you give me? I'm worth it, they're not worth it. In the way you say it to Allah, we get burned. What are you getting burned for? You're getting burned for that person. It's not going to burn him, you're burning yourself. You're burning yourself, but that person will be burned. Yet you and I are like that, hey, that person is a very rich man. He got everything. How come I haven't got the thing? How can you talk like that? Oh, he's a very knowledgeable person. You know, everyone talks to him about him. No one talks to me. So these things are very important to know. That we have those things in us, and then I find the people like us nowadays, when you are not to put forward, you want others to put you forward. Why they put that person forward? Let me go forward. All these things have come to one thing only, this point. Why he's been praised, why I'm not being praised, why he's been given show, why I'm not being given show, it self shows you this much that you are jealous. Jealousy is a very bad thing. Jealousy is so bad, his daughter got married, why my daughter not married? And he's happy, why I'm not happy? All these things, you look at it, you're reading namaz, you're making zikr, you're making everything. But these qualities you're supposed to have, you know, hey, that man, you know, he's so busy in his business, I'm not busy at all. Why? And that man is gambling so much, he's making so much of money, I'm so pure here. Now you're claiming yourself, you know. You claim yourself, I'm so pure here, and I'm not doing nothing. Like one lady, you know, she wrote to her husband and told her, I'm so pious and this and that. My husband is completely opposite. Completely opposite. And she spoke so bad of the husband. The husband just said one thing, he's still your husband. In other words, you're not supposed to talk bad about him. Well, Allah Ta'ala gave that. There's a reason for everything. Allah Ta'ala to raise your state and kept quiet. A woman must always try to hide the husband, whatever she does. Yes, if she's going through some difficulty, go to the Qazi, put the thing right. But don't talk about him everywhere. Now they find that the lady claiming I'm a very pious woman. But they say, look, she's even claiming she's a pious woman. Yet you find this much. The Rabia Basir Rahmatullah Ali, she said that the time when Allah Ta'ala, when the time come Allah Ta'ala, I look at my actions, I feel from my actions not accept, then I feel happy. Because I know that I'm too weak. But when I feel high and mighty of my actions, I feel I'm someone. And that's exactly what is happening today. So we have to learn this thing this much, that our purpose in this world is to hate sins. That is the bottom line, to hate sins. And how to keep Allah Ta'ala happy? There's nothing more to do than that. No one tell you to wake up at night, 2 o'clock and 3 o'clock and make that ibadat and this ibadat. You can make all that ibadat, alhamdulillah. But make this your life. I must not hurt anyone. I must not deceive anyone. I must not deceive anyone, I must cheat anyone. I must have that quality that I'm from my actions. It must never be that it must hurt anyone in any way. My zuban must not hurt anyone too. My tongue must not hurt anyone. My eyes must never hurt anyone too. My eyes must not hurt anyone. What's the meaning of that? You walk past a person's house, very beautiful. You look at it and you get nervous. What's happening? Yeah, now. Why is this person? What is this? Why I haven't got these things? So there are so many hidden agendas people have in us that we must make sure that that must not come into us at all. So this is very, very important that at all times one should have this. And that's why they say that you, to get that quality in you, you have to sit in the company of pious people. Pious people is the most important thing in these days when it's full of fitna and fasad. It is very, very important for that person who's keeping away from sins. And if he does not have anyone who's guiding him, then he's sheikh of the shaitan. Why? Because he's more clever than everyone else. Then he'll come zigzag by you. He'll make you zigzag also. In other words, with all your good knowledge that you have in you, you feel you are someone. But as shaitan, when they told him this month that, you know what, he said to him, there's no one more knowledgeable than me. That's what happened to him afterwards. So likewise, so if you don't have someone to guide you, after you keep away, very important is halal food. Halal food must be ate all the time. I'm not saying now to go to people's home and ask them your food halal. That I'm not saying to do at all. It's a very big sin. You know something that you go to a Muslim house and you know it's a pious person, say, Mota, is that chicken halal? What is that saying? That means you're the only one eating halal food. It's an insult to the sin also. Yes, if you know someone who's completely wrong and all that, that's something else. But just to jump in the conclusion of people's homes, that is not the way to work. It's a very big sin. It's an insult. It's a sin to hurt someone's heart. But as far as possible, take intake of halal food. Halal food is very important. Halal food, that's why they say, if a father tells a son to eat something which is doubtful, in other words, not haram, doubtful, but because the mother says he can eat the thing, but it's not haram. If he can eat the thing, why? Because the mother said that. But if he does not eat, it's good. But if he eats it too, there's no sin at all. Just to tell you this, but don't jump in conclusion. Do not make judgments. You are judging people today. Since when we call this we can judgment to people that in this family like that, in that family like that? That doesn't teach it. I never saw Hazrat Ibrahim once better. But the Thani Rahmatullah Alayhi once, a person who was a big person, he was taking bribery from him. No, take bribery. So he invited Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Alayhi. Hazrat accepted the invitation. When he accepted the invitation, he told him that, look, I have just one question to ask, but in a quiet. He didn't tell part of ask from everyone. In a quiet, I'm ask one question. He said, yeah, Hazrat, you can ask me. He says, I'm concerned about your behavior because you're taking bribery. And that is now, it's not good for us to accept that kind of invitation. He says, Hazrat, don't mind. Let me tell you something. I have love for ulama. I have love for the Buzugana team. I know this much that you don't eat this kind of money. Alhamdulillah, I don't lose that money at all. The money that I use for my buzugan deen is whatever I earn myself. I keep it completely separate. And I make sure I give you that for that. Now, when a Muslim tells you that, what are you supposed to do? Accept it. He accepts it wholeheartedly. And even he said, don't eat that. So what I'm trying to tell you is you have to be very careful. Don't judge, become judgmental of people. Today, people become judgmental of others. Not people realize that it can cause the iman to go. Allah money is father from you. So that is very important. And many a time, the person is doing business also. Business must be halal. Not halal. So one sahabi, you know, he woke up in the morning, he read his namaz, and he was going straight to the shop to open. He opened the shop to two sahabi, said, hey, this fellow, why are you coming here? How nice he thought of Allah Ta'ala that time. They were thinking that Rasulullah said, was there. He said, no. He was going there for the search for his own family. For his family, then that is ibadat. He went out and looked. Because he does not want to become disgraced to anyone. He doesn't want to stretch his hand to anyone else. You want to? If people stretch one hand to someone else in sin, do not stretch your hand to belittle yourself. Always, if you've got hand in something, do your work on your own. And you've got a business, you have to go and do your business. Only thing must be halal. It must be halal. The vehicle is a vehicle. And we are Amin Sajjateen. You must be an honest and truthful person. The person who's got a business, he must be honest and truthful. And he encourages people to do business. It's very important. So that it will not be, you become completely independent. He wants you to become independent. Whatever craftsmanship, whatever you want to do, you can do. Whatever profession there are jayas to do, you can do all the professions. But remember one thing, you must become professional in a way that you must be knowing your work very well. And it must be done. My husband to tell a doctor, you know, to a doctor, you must become a master in medicine. You must become a master. In other words, whatever you do, you must become a master. That doesn't mean in every way. An alim must become a master. He must become master in his knowledge. A hafiz must become a master in his own Quran Sharif. So in every field, Hazrat should say that he must become a master. You know, when Hazrat had a stomach condition, so all the doctors come to see him. He said, what doctor now? No one is a master today. In other words, he wants everyone to become master in whatever field. So we must become a master Muslim. We will become a master Muslim. A master Muslim who with his hands and tongue does not cause harm to anyone. That is a master Muslim. Don't have to let one people to praise you. Allah must praise you. If you can bring that quality of it, I must not cause harm to anyone with my actions, with my tongue, with my hand. I must not cause any harm. He's a true Muslim. A true Muslim is that person who at every time make sure that it does not cause harm to anyone. Besides, even the animals don't cause harm. Hazrat was walking once, the people, while walking, one man was drinking the water, and he just stopped there. You know, and someone who said, why did you do that? He said, eating milk, drinking water. Why do you come this way? Why do you turn it away? In that, now that person who keeps concern of animals, how much you concern the insans? We have to understand this. You know, there was a Buzruk. While he was writing on Kitab, one fly came and sat down on his pen and taking the ink and drinking the ink. He made sure he just let it lie for the fly to drink the ink, and when it went away, then only did I start writing that. Now, in your eyes and my eyes, that thing takes as a small act. But you don't know that act, and that I can forgive that person for that thing. Many a time. Just like that, you find, do not take any action to be a small action. A small action, you take it as a small, can take it to general state of it. Look at that person, that woman, she's a prostitute. In the hadith it mentioned, she's a prostitute. She was going past and she saw a dog. And she made that dog drink water. Therefore, drinking that water, Allah forgave her. So, we must not take any action to be small, because we don't know which action ours is our salvation. That way, inshallah, one most important guna is number. The most important, have faith for sins. Faith for sins is very important. Any business you do it halal way, not haram. Remember one thing, when Nabi Karim said that Siddiqui wa Shuhada, that person who is an honest worker, al-Amin, an honest dealer, it means this much that remember that he will be going through sort of difficulties too. Did we say you have to safeguard yourself from shaitan? Shaitan, because why? He's an honest dealer. And many a time he faced a situation where he can do something wrong. He had to safeguard from the tricks of shaitan. That's why he said that always remember this month that you must have a sheikh or someone to guide you. And the guidance and whatever he tells you to do, if you do that, then inshallah, then you barakah. Many a time he may advise you certain things that you may not like it, but you don't understand that that is the best for you. Oh, I tell you, Hazim Abdullah Rahmatullah Alayhi. One person came to you and said, Hazrat, I want to go to Madina Sharif. He said, go through this road. No, don't go through this road. And he said, don't take that road. The next person who heard this, he said, Hazrat, I want to go to Madina Sharif. He told him, go to this road. The first person said, don't go this road. Another person said, go to this road. Now, he told him not to go to this road, but because he told other person to go that road, he went the other road. He did not go the road, Hazrat, not to go. In the end, he has so much taklif, Allahu Akbar. So the other fellow went very peacefully. Because he heard, he did not, the road was not very good, but the sheikh told him. The sheikh. Likewise, once the sheikh told, three people came. When they came to meet the Hazrat, Assalamu Alaikum wa Alaikum Salaam, he said, Hazrat, you know what, give us advice. One thing you must remember, when a true buzruk, when you ask for advice, follow him, and don't ask him. Follow him, and don't ask him. So the Hazrat told him, give us advice. He said, don't eat elephant meat. Don't eat elephant meat. Now, elephant meat? Who's elephant here now? But Hazrat said, elephant meat. Hazrat, how can you say elephant meat? But dil mein ye baat aayi. That was King Mahat, I'm telling you. So, okay, they went down. Now, when they were not, there's not like cars around, yeah? Muslim tents and all those cars. Nothing, there were the bushes that were wrong. Now, they lost the road. Now, they lost the road, then what to do? Now, what to do? Not, can't do anything. In the end, you know, they had to just sit one side and just waiting now what can happen. And they were so tired, they were lost. And they fell asleep. They said, well, they're hungry now, they're hungry. Now, they say hungry, they want an elephant baby came past. Now, an elephant baby came past. They say, we're hungry, we have to kill this baby. The one person said, look, the sheikh told not to do it. No matter what happens, I'm not going to eat this baby. You can do whatever you want. Well, they killed that elephant baby. And they sat down, they had a good meal. This person did not eat at all. And when they sleep, Hazrat gave his insulin, I'm telling you again. And then they're all sleeping. Now the person is too hungry, they sleep. He can't sleep, he's so hungry. Now the elephant came. The elephant came, he came around. He saw, oh, the baby was killed. Now you must know what the condition of an animal to kill his baby. You don't know, it'll be serious. It's a very serious thing. That anger that animal had at that time is beyond. You can't talk about it. He's a lion or elephant or whatever. He can't take it. Anything. It is so angry. The only thing now he's going to do now is to smash them up. So he goes there. Mahazrat saying this thing. He said, Deko, it's for command. It's okay. Then he got command. He goes the first one. Smelling. No. He did not take part in it. Did not take part in it. Left him alone. Went another one. Said, oh yeah. With all that anger, Hazrat said, with all that anger, look at the control he had, tolerance he had. He could have killed everyone. Like how we do, you know. That person did wrong, you did the other person. Whereas that, what that person did to you. You know, you're swearing this person, that person, what he did to you, swear that person. You swear his father, his mother, everyone's father. My husband gave us the incident to teach us something. It's just not a story, it's a teaching thing. But have you got that quality in you? Then he looked at it and smashed us to himself, the second one, the third one, smashed. Not only that, with all that anger. You see, Allah knows how Allah works. He took that person, put him on his back, and took him out of the country. With all that, just to show you, when you listen to your share, how much barakat is it? How much barakat? One day I told Hazrat, I can't get a ticket to go to this place. They go the other way. I didn't hear the other way, I had to wait the whole night. I suffered the whole night. Had I listened to him, took the ticket, gone. And I had to take the same ticket. So just to tell you the importance of having a share, not for dunya. Not for dunya. If you got it for dunya, the way you know, you'll get a lot of dunya, maybe, not, don't get you. Get him for Akhirah. Get him for the closer to Allah Ta'ala. Get him for that. If he tell you close the shop, close the shop. He say open the shop, open the shop. If he didn't do that, don't ask why. If you haven't got that muhabbat we're supposed to have for the Shaykh. If you have the Shaykh's muhabbat of that kind, if he tell you something to do wrong to, and do not sin, but not according to your tawbi, just do it, you see the result of it. So today's madras is most important, gunas in the front. Have hate. Want to walk out in that day. Do not hurt anyone anyway. Do not harm anyone too. And that quality must come into you. And it starts from home. It starts from if you can control yourself at home, with the barakat of that, inshallah, you see, outside you win all that. Allah Ta'ala, I'm not coming for you. اللهم إنا أسألك الرضا والجنة ونعوذ بك من السخط وافقنا لما تحب وترضى من القول والعمل إنك على كل شيء قدير اللهم حاسبنا حسابا يسيرا اللهم حاسبنا حسابا يسيرا اللهم حاسبنا حسابا يسيرا اللهم ثبتنا بالإيمان وأمتنا بالإيمان واحشرنا يوم القيامة بالإيمان بحرمة القرآن بحرمة النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام وصلى الله تعالى على سيدنا ورحمة الله